Hi everyone, welcome to Green Shoots. I'm Ryan Ballagy. It's great to have you here with us. Today's guest is Roger Duthie, who is the man behind Bearfish and Bearfish Sports Marketing. And Roger has a really interesting background, I think, in the golf world because he comes to us from Dubai, and he's been there for a quarter century, and he has worked at the biggest levels of marketing within Emirates Airlines, which has a huge hand in all kinds of different sports marketing, but also has had a big footprint in golf over the years. And Roger also has a line of new caps through his Bearfish company, so we want to talk about all of that. So, Roger, thanks for being with us. First, can you give us a sense of how you got to Dubai in the first place and got involved with Emirates, and then kind of spin that forward to modern day?
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Ryan. I appreciate your time. As you said, I've been in Dubai for 25 years, and 25 years ago, I had no clue what I was doing or where I was going, really. My wife and I lived in the Bahamas. I graduated from University of Texas with my master's degree, and then flipped over to the Bahamas somehow, as you do when you're young and dumb and just want to play golf all the time and drink rum and have a good time. So I moved to the Bahamas, Freeport, met my wife. We lived there for 5 years, got married in our last year there. She was a teacher. And we just heard of this place from 60 Minutes TV show, actually, back in the day, and I saw this place called Dubai. I thought, this is interesting. A friend of mine had visited a couple times because he lived in Saudi. He was a teacher, and he said, it's great. So I started doing a bit of research, and gosh, were probably letters back then. No, it was just the start of internet, I think, and found Emirates Airline. They were looking for a marketing person, young. I said, let's roll the dice, give it a shot. And we came over, and we hated it for the first 6 months. We thought, what the hell? Yeah, we were living in Bahamas. I was playing tons of golf. I was playing rugby, playing tennis, having, no money, but having a great life. And we, like I said, we were young. And then I realized, settling into Emirates, what the airline was about and the vision of the government here. And honestly, you couldn't have believed what happened then to where we are today. And the government really wanted to make Dubai a tourist destination. And it really started with golf and sport, and building golf courses, the Emirates Golf Club and then Dubai Creek. And we had the Dubai Desert Classic that started with the European Tour. And the Middle East tournaments, there was one in Qatar as well in Doha, they started inviting and paying for marquee name players. So Freddie Couples came over and eventually that built to, Mark and Mira in 1998 when he'd won a couple of majors. And why were they trying to get Mark? Because they're trying to catch the big fish in 2000. And they got Tiger over here and he loved it. And then he won the tournament and Ernie's won. So now Dubai is a fantastic place. It's a golf mecca. Golf courses are great. Lifestyle is wonderful. And I'd highly recommend it to anyone. So I was with Emirates for about 20 years or so. And decided at the end of 2019 I would start my own marketing company because I wanted to do what I did for Emirates, but for other brands. And I thought I could do that. And COVID hit exactly the same time I left. So people were wondering, I was wondering, what the hell? I had the greatest job in the world, working for the best company in the world. Why am I leaving? And now COVID hit. So I was pretty gutted at the time. But it actually worked out because consultants like myself during COVID were kind of were hired because it was cheaper to hire consultants when teams and leagues and brands, and that's where my clients are, were culling staff. So they hired, and they found out I was a free agent. I got hired by certain clients. So and really to where we are today, I started my apparel business during COVID. And I just thought I always wanted to start a line of golf clothing and golf gear. And I wanted to start with hats because I actually felt, although they're obviously great products out there, I was never really super comfortable with the products that I was buying and paying for. And I thought, I can do this. I can do something better because I'm a golfer. I travel. I'm a hot weather golfer. I know the global golf game, and I've seen a lot of caps and apparel out there, and I love to wear fun colors. And so, yeah, I created this golf line, and here we are today. And each hat comes with a travel case, and that was based on a necessity as well, simply because I would travel, I'd buy a cap somewhere, spend $50 on a cap, throw in my golf bag or suitcase, and one and done, really, and it would get crushed. So I made these cap cases that clip on the side of your bag or clip into your side of your golf bag that protects your caps while traveling. So That's where we are today. So yeah, I hope that answered your question. I know it was a little bit long-winded. Sorry about that, but that's sort of the
no.
Story.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear, is the journey to now.
Yeah.
I guess the intrigue in me in starting anyone who starts a business coming from a different walk of life before they get into what they're trying to do now is, what did you not know that you didn't know you didn't know, if that makes sense, when you wanted to get into apparel and hats specifically? Did you know what you were looking for in the performance and design of the hat, or did you even just have to start from scratch and just kind of figure it out from the very beginning?
That's a really good question. So what did I not know that I did not know? Nothing. I was a sports marketing guy. So my business now, I've got Barefoot Sports Marketing, and that's kind of what keeps my lights on. And I've got clients around the world, and we're doing consulting, and that's great. So, and then I started Barefoot Sports Apparel, for the cap business and other pieces of apparel items we'll talk about later. So to answer your question, I knew what I wanted in a cap. I went down to the textile souk here. You can imagine in Dubai, we have thousands of textiles and souks. And I went and I touched and felt and grabbed and then I sent them to 42 different suppliers in the end. But I went to and whittled it down to one after months and months of R&D and a lot of cash on my part. So that's one thing I didn't realize, how expensive it was. I didn't realize the toing and fro. I'm not a retail guy. I'm learning all this as I was going on. So I was trying to figure out that. I was trying to figure out margins, taxes, import taxes, duty tax. There was a lot of stuff I didn't know. This whole thing stemmed from a passion project. And I thought, my goal is to create some caps that I like. And that's it. And then we launched in Dubai at the DP World Championship. And I found out that people liked them. It's like, ah, okay, great. Now what? I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I started to do a lot more research. And where we are today, I'm literally about to hire a CEO who's got great experience in this industry. I will still be the visionary, what I want to do with the brand and the company going forward. This gentleman's probably going to help me with getting the steps right. And that's the important thing that I didn't know. You can't just have a passion project and go from A to Z in 3 miles an hour. You actually have to take steps. And that's what I've learned. Okay, there are steps to take in this thing. You know, I didn't want to take steps. I want to make a hat, give it to everybody, sell it, and go, hey, this is great. Look at the great Google Golf hat I had. But there's a lot of steps that go involved. And that's what I didn't know. And that's what I'm now learning that you have to do.
In trying to find the textiles and also the manufacturing piece of it, what did you have to learn about material? What did you have to learn about sourcing it, first of all, and what it's made of? And I mean, did you have to get into, okay, here's how the stitching works and here's where it comes from, and sourcing that matters? I mean, what is the stuff that was like truly in the weeds just before you could even decide on a design and who would put it together for you, what it felt like?
So as I said, we have these textile suits, and I spoke to a lot of textile vendors in Dubai and said, okay, here's what I want. I want something that's breathable. I want something that will be form fitting, because my caps don't have the Velcro, you know, they're different sizes. So I want them to stretch, but be form fitting and comfortable for your head when you're playing sport, you know, especially golf. I want it UV protected. So all these detailed things, I knew what I wanted, and they would come back and help me with the blend, whether it's poly, a bit of cotton, a bit of spandex, a bit of this. And that's what we spent 3 years doing. It literally took me 3 years to create one hat. It was the combination of the materials and the percentage of this and percentage of that. I had no idea what I was doing. This was all trial and error. I've got, I want to say, probably 1,000 sample caps, which each cost me a lot of money. And all my buddies now are walking around with, you know, different caps and sizes and materials. And I have all these because I had to get it right. And if I wasn't comfortable with what it was for me and my personal vision on this, I couldn't offer it to anyone else. And that's kind of what I learned.
What was the decision, or how did you make the decision that you had it right? Was it down to you? Did you have your group of friends that kind of all voted, yes, this is great? What did that look like? And what was that moment like for you personally, where you're like, yes, we've got it?
Well, first of all, I think I'm probably 98% there, maybe 97%, because I'm a perfectionist. And I really, I feel I'm there, but I still, you know, with anything in life, you can always improve, right? I don't have the perfect...
Yeah.
Yet, so I'm almost there. I gave my caps to my buddies, and we're all golfers, and we all, a lot of guys live in this environment, different parts of the world. I flicked them out to some guys and say, hey, let me know the truth, good, bad, ugly. And they would come back and say, yeah, it was too tight, the sizing, this, that, like the brand, you know. And then eventually, guys, what do you think? You know, it's trial and error. And in the end, I got the thumbs up, and I went, all right, I'm going to market on this thing. And the colors was my choice because I want a complete say on the colors and the look and feel of it. And I said, okay, you guys have no say in this. This is my company. This is what I want to do, but I want you guys to tell me how it feels and let me know. So they did. And as buddies would do, they're brutally honest, which is what I wanted to. I wanted them brutally honest, you know. And then the funny thing, I signed every cap, right? With my name, and my buddies are saying, we're either going to frame this or blow our noses with it, or worse, in the next 5 years, you know. So that's what buddies are for, to keep you grounded and give you some home truths. So that's how we manufacture them.
So great response initially from the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. How do you take that and then go, okay, how am I going to distribute this globally? I mean, that seems like a daunting thing to figure out, even with someone who's had the kind of experience of the brands you've dealt with over your career.
Yeah, you know, I have a pretty significant global black book, and I tapped into that. No, I really did. So, for example, I'm going to Singapore next week. I'm meeting a potential distributor in Singapore, and then Korea, and then Japan. So I've got that sort of market covered. The U.S. is a tough market. There's no issue. No, you know, that's the truth. The U.S. is a hard market to break into. I'm not competing against the Titus or Callaways or the big boys. We're a boutique Dubai brand with people who care about A, how they look, B, how the comfort and color of their caps. You know, and some people don't care, and that's cool. We're probably reaching a certain percentage of people, and I'm aware of that. I know my target audience, and that's okay. So I've got a Canadian distributor we're talking to. I'm literally using a lot of my contacts to say, okay, I need some help. What do you suggest? And then I'm reaching out and tapping into people I know from retail and fashion and lifestyle, and saying, guys, what's my next step? And that's where I'm getting my help, you know. And you have to do that when you don't know, when you come from one business to another, as you rightly said. I mean, I don't know it all, and I don't pretend to know it all. And someone asked me this question once, and I said, the smart thing to do, I think, is hire people who know more than you and people you trust. And that's what I've done. That's what I'm working on, and that's how we're working on the global distribution.
But I would think that's part of the exciting piece of this, too, is getting to learn a new trade, new work of life.
You know what, Ryan, that's so true. This is the thing that I jump out of bed at, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. because I watch my American sports before I start my day. That's the truth. And then, you know, I'll hit the office, but I'm buzzing all day about this. I have my consultancy stuff, and I have my consultancy clients, and I can do that. You know, I care about that, and I'm dedicated to that. But you're right. The creativity I'm allowed to bring to the business, my other business, the apparel business, is what's really exciting and fun. And that's what I love. That's what kind of the passion I have for this is second to none. Like I'm gonna smash this thing and have a lot of fun doing it.
As a career person, how important is it to have something like that professionally? And whether that's within your day job, line of work, if you're a career professional, or having something, if you have your own business, that's, I hate the term side hustle, but just something that is a passion project, something that does keep you either up at night or get you up in the morning.
It's for me, it's the greatest feeling ever. Honestly, I was a corporate guy for, you know, 20 plus years, in the office at 7, home at 6, fed the kids, did this, did that, you know, played my golf, and it's a bit of the, and I had a great job and a great business, great company I worked for, but you know, it gets boring and humdrum after a while. I always wanted to do this, and I didn't know how, and COVID actually was one of those times when you can roll your sleeves up and figure things out and go, hey, why not try it now? I'm going to create the hat that I want, that I think is the perfect golf hat, outdoor apparel hat. And I did it. So for me, it's what's driving me right now in everything I do. I would highly recommend that for anybody. Call it a side hustle, call it a side business, call it a side passion project, but something you truly love, whether it's going to make you money or not, but if you can afford just to get into it, to have the goal and the vision to do it, that's what kind of gives excitement to life, in my opinion.
For people who are maybe listening to this and listening for inspiration, listening for, they've got an idea and they're trying to think of a way to do this. What are kind of some concrete things that maybe you would advise them to do as they're kind of putting the early stages of something together? What are some of the things you have to consider that are really important?
I think financials, that's important. I didn't realize that. You know, every cap I bought for a sample cap could be $60, $70, $80, you know, per hat, because they're making one hat, one design, one style. You times that by as many hats as I told you I have, that's a lot of cash. I think I would probably, if I would have done things differently, I would have talked about the steps that I had to do. One, figuring out where the niche in my market is, where the gap in the market is. Okay, what am I trying to do? And when you find that gap out, you don't just stick your finger up in the air and go, oh, I think there's a gap here. You actually have to have analytics and figure out in that market you want to be, who's selling the caps, what are the caps sold for, where are the caps being sold, how many caps are being sold per day, how many caps are being sold in the mall, in the golf shop, blah, blah. Get all the information, and we're talking about example, for obviously, about caps, but you have to have that information. Now, I didn't. I have since gone back and done those steps, but those are some of the concrete things that you have to do, and it's just know the market. Know the cost that you're getting into this. Passion products are great, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. But the other thing I'll say, on the side of my cap, you can see it says "Be Brave," right? You've got a cap and it says "Be Brave." And I think I told you the story. This is how I run my life and my business. Is, you know, father would always say, when you're, son, if you got a chance for, go for it. And two, go for it. You know, be brave, because one day the decision won't be yours. That's either age or I can't hit it as far as I used to, or whatever. But so while you can go for it, and two, risk reward, go for it, be brave. And that's the mantra I use for my business. It's like, okay, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to be brave. I might fall on my face, but that's okay. I'll pick myself up and move on. But at least I tried it, and I don't want to really regret it. I'm trying something that I love, and I hope it's a commercial success. And if it isn't, I'm already successful.
I feel like that seems like that, and conversations I've had with people who have developed businesses over the years, that for whatever reason, and I don't know if this is a positive or negative character trait in the main, but that they're not afraid to fall on their face. They're not afraid to fail. Or if they are, they've managed to live with that comfortably. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
What it is, it's the old adage, thick skin. My wife was talking about this today, and she said, we were just having a laugh about something, and she said, you've got the thickest skin of anyone I know. And I said, I know, you have to. Because in business, you get rejected 9 times out of 10. You do. And you know, I know that from my personal business. And when I was on the corporate side, I used to tell people 99.9% of the time, no. It's that 1% or 0.1% that you hope someone's going to say yes. And that's why you need the thick skin and determination. Like, you know, I'm scrappy. And again, that's what my wife said. She goes, you're scrappy and you've got thick skin. And you have to be. You have to be. Or you're gonna like roll up in the corner and suck your thumb and it's gonna be all over, right? And it may end up that way. But I'm gonna go down and fight it.
It does strike me too that you have to be, knowing that you're gonna hear no a lot, you also have to be willing to have a lot of backups, either backup plans or backup financials or backup relationships, or you need to consider not putting your eggs in one basket to accomplish a goal. Does that apply here to Bear Fish with the apparel side?
Yeah, 100%. As I said, my sports marketing consultancy business is what keeps my lights on. My Bear Fish sports apparel market is what spends all the profits from my consultancy. So right now, from a business sense, I'm probably not making much sense with the apparel side of things because I've spent so much money on it. But you know, my long-term vision is this brand's going to grow and we're going to be successful with other bits and pieces I want to have with it. So, you do need a backup plan. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. I'm not quitting my day job for my apparel business. I'm really focusing on my day-to-day clients and I still work on that. But, you know, I'm working two jobs because I have my apparel business that I'm scraping and clawing and trying to move forward.
As you mentioned, you have other goals and where you want to take Bear Fish Sports Apparel moving forward. So what's your 1-year plan? What's your 3-year plan? Where, what's kind of your vision for where you take this?
Year one, we launched with hats because that's what I know, and I know golf, and that's really what my comfort zone. And year two, we're launching with golf belts that will match the BF on the hat and the colors. So I'm in talks right now with Italian designers and Italian belt manufacturers. I want high quality products, and so the belts will match the hats because as a golfer, I like to match my belt and my hat. You know, maybe some people do, some people don't, but I like it, right? So that's kind of what this whole thing is about, is what I like. Year three, sports hoodies, golf shirts, play dry shirts, that sort of thing. Not going too deep into accessories, maybe some towels or little things like that. But I want to build the brand in the first 3 years. And then year four, five, and onwards, just really start to grow it and expand it around the world. That's the vision. I have a business strategy and a business plan. And I guess to your further question earlier, that's important to have, is a business plan for the next 5 years, a 5-year vision of what you want to do with your business, and just keep trying to achieve every hurdle and every goal all the time. So that's where I am right now. I'm in year two of my 5-year plan.
Doing the belt work now, has it been instructive to have done the hat work leading into the belt work? If that makes sense, taking what you learned from that experience, has it been helpful, maybe giving you a couple of steps forward in advance on the belt side?
Yeah, it really has. Just getting the designs tight early on. And I didn't have that. I mean, I was starting from scratch with the designs in my head and then a designer, and we went through different iterations. And so the belts, I know exactly what I want. And I've been thinking about this for the last 2 years, right? So I know. So I've sent the designs to designers. Now we're coming back and we're toying with the colors and this and that, material, color, all that kind of stuff. So we're well ahead of the game, knowing what I did with the caps. Yeah, absolutely. And this will help when I get into the hoodies and the play dry shirts and some other accessories. So I'm thinking 2 years ahead already. I have to.
And then on the distribution e-commerce side of things, has that made this brand more possible because of the revolution of direct to consumer and the ability to create a brand and create a storefront where people can connect with you through social as well without not little work, but little work compared to building a physical store?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Without the e-commerce, I couldn't really do this thing. I was never wanted to be a bricks and mortar, you know, having a physical building. I never wanted to do that. But luckily my hats are in some of the shops in Dubai, who people, you know, golf stores and the malls and that sort of thing, which is great. But the e-commerce is the way forward for all of this stuff. Yeah. Right now, for example, I'm offering free shipping around the world for the next sort of 30 days. We're literally about to launch my own bespoke e-commerce site. And it would be, you know, Barefoot Sports Marketing/apparel. But someone can purchase that online, and then I will deliver free anywhere in the world. I'll suck up those costs. So those little things you can do to customers to kind of get them on board and get them to really touch and taste the brand. And then if people don't like the hat, they can return it. They'll return their money. No questions asked. So that's the e-commerce stuff can really help you do that. And that's what will help you be a global citizen and a global supplier. You know, and I said I'm going to Singapore next week in Asia, and that's all about e-commerce stuff. That's all that will be about. And it'd be cool to get my stuff in Asia and then America and then Canada, where I'm from, and then in Dubai. And with, you know, 25 years ago, you couldn't do that. You'd have to have a shop in every place in the world, right? Well, the world's changing. E-commerce has really moved that rapidly forward.
All right, to wrap everything up, I like to ask this question, or some variation of this question, to pretty much everybody I talk to in this entrepreneurial space. And that is, what excites you most about what you're doing right now? And what excites you most about what you're going to do in the next year or two?
Right now, I think I'm going to build the next greatest brand out there, a boutique brand. And that's the belief I have. And that's what drives me. It's like, you know, what drives me is that I want to buy the Toronto Maple Leafs one day. And if I want to buy the Toronto, make them a winning hockey team. In order to do that, I need to sell a lot of hats. So that's what I want. So 5 years' time, when I buy the Maple Leafs, build a winning team in Toronto. That's what I want to do. Or the Blue Jays. But in seriousness, it's to build a brand, to build my own brand that came from my head, my heart, my hard work, and to see people enjoying my brand would give me huge satisfaction. It really would. I would love that. And that's what drives me. That's really what drives me. And I see us doing that within the next 5 years.
What's the easiest way for people to connect with Barefoot?
Online. Yeah, online, bearfishsportsmarketing.com. All the information's there. I can be reached there. Yeah, that's it. Just online is easiest. And then throw it in Google and you'll find me as well.
Well, Roger, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, especially with the time difference. It's always kind of tricky to coordinate these things. So thank you for being flexible and doing it. And it was a great conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Anytime. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.